This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Whether it's relationships, work, or just with friends, there's a few things I've done that I'll suddenly remember and feel ashamed of. So I'm exploring the world of shame, and in each episode, I'll be asking my guests what they're ashamed of and how they think that's influenced the person they are today. Today's guest is radio and TV broadcaster Maz Compton.
Shame. I was sitting in my therapist's chair and she's like, you're feeling really ashamed. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm totally cool, right? I kind of vowed, I guess it's when you make your biggest mistakes that you learn the biggest lessons. But I lost sleep over that. I felt awful. And I actually haven't ever betrayed a friend like that ever since. It still comes up. It's a year and a half down the track and sometimes it pops up.
You're listening to Shame Feeder.
Hi and welcome to Shame Feeder. Always trying to explore shame, even with people who don't have any, which has been the hard one with some of these. I'm not sure if this is going to be the case for this person, but very excited to have the guest for this episode, radio, TV host, general entertainer, Maz Compton.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. We're talking about shame, and I've said in the past, oh, I've got no shame. Like, that's just a way I usually introduce myself into a room. So I'm really going to have to probably
dig deep.
I'm going to have to take that back to start and go, I just scratched that from the record because we are here to talk about shame. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So we'll dig down into that in a second. But first,
Let's not start with that. Let's start with all the fun, fluffy, good, awesome stuff that I've done.
Well, I mean, for those who are listening then, who are you?
Oh, my gosh. I've done a lot of things in my career. So I am a broadcaster of sorts. I've worked in television for a number of years. I hosted MTV when that was a thing. If any millennials are listening, they'll be like, what's MTV? And it was really cool back in 2004. And it was watched on a television and all the millennials are like, what's a television? Well, that's what we used to watch TV on before laptops were invented. It plugged into a wall. You couldn't take it on the bus with you. So I hosted TV and then I got into radio and I hosted a bunch of radio shows all over the country and bits and pieces. Yeah. And
I remember even...
Oh, God, what do you remember?
Because everyone in regional radio ends up having this job, just having to panel in the network to drive shows.
I'm so sorry about that.
No, it was great. I had a great time listening.
What show was that on that I
was
hosting?
The Drive.
The Dan and Maz show.
Dan and Maz,
the Drive show. Yeah, I've done it. I think I've actually done every single possible radio shift any one single human being can ever do. I have done mid-dawns, like when I very, very first started to teach myself to panel at Nova in Sydney, I did like midnight till 6 a.m. and then I'd hand over to Merrick and Rosso. And then I've done like I did a bit of weekend jocking as a music jock. And then I did late nights. I've done actual nights. I've done breakfast. I've done drive. And then I did weekends. I don't think there is any shift that I missed. So that's a lot of experience in radio.
Yeah.
And then lately, the last sort of year and a half of my life, I've gone on a real health and wellness fitness journey and I've bought two businesses. So I actually own two gyms now and I host a podcast for Body and Soul where I talk about health, wellness and trying to find the balance if that even exists. And so I've really tapped out of the vacuous world of media and tapped into something that really speaks to my soul. So I've kind of done like, I feel like if I look back on my career, it's a bit bipolar. Like I've gone from one extreme to the other, but I'm okay with that.
I mean, at least you haven't done what a lot of people I know in media have done and just gone media, real estate.
Oh, no, I'm not going to go into real estate. Although Every time I go to Bali, I'm like, should we get a villa and rent it out to a Westerner in Seminyak? Maybe property tycoon could be the next thing. But the gyms are going, I mean, business is really an interesting experience, and there's a whole wealth of skills that I've learned in the last 18 months that radio didn't teach me. So that's interesting, being a boss and running a business with my husband. That's interesting too. So there's a, my life really in the last year and a half has changed dramatically, but I have embraced it at every twist and turn.
Look, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Look, I would have fun in prison. Like, I would be... I'm pretty content with me, and if I'm not content, then I definitely put on that facade and everyone believes it. So either way, I'm winning.
Okay. And I've only managed to see a few bits of it, but so you're mentioning the gyms and stuff, but Alt Breakfast, is that?
Yeah, Alt Breakfast is a fun little experiment, and it's so funny, Sam, because a lot of people, I've had some really positive feedback on it, and no one knows what it is, including myself. So I have people going, so how's that brand new like online radio breakfast show that you're doing? I'm like, well, it's not actually like a real show. It's more of a conversation. And then other people are like, oh, so you're back on radio, but it's on Facebook. And I'm like, it's not, that doesn't actually make sense. So what it is, it's an idea that was brought to me about having great real conversation over breakfast and to see where that went in the landscape that's changing so dramatically and being reshaped and redefined. So myself and Kate Peck have breakfast each week with a different person. We literally have the best brekkie. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. There's like three courses. The coffee's awesome. Yeah, it's unreal. So that's what we're doing at the moment. So that's just, it's a chat about whatever we feel we want to talk about that we would talk about with our girlfriends. And, you know, whether that's going to blow the media landscape apart or not really doesn't matter, because it's something that we're both passionate about, that we want to do, and we're going to see where it goes.
Okay.
So we're doing, we committed to doing 12 episodes for our first season. So that'll be wrapping up in a couple of weeks. And then we'll like regroup, you know, see what we've learnt, see how our numbers are looking, analytics, blah, 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 all the rest of it, and then make a plan for a season two in the back end of the year.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy. Yeah.
So then out of all of it, what would you say you're proudest of?
At the moment or overall in my life in general? Why don't I answer both ways?
I haven't had anyone return the question. yeah, go for both.
So I am really proud of the full stop I've put on media.
Yeah.
And I feel like I did some really excellent work. I worked with some incredible people, and I'm really happy with where I left that.
Yeah.
So I don't have this sense of I'm trying to live in the past and reinvent the wheel and, you know, reshape breakfast radio, because that didn't work, and that's okay. And I'm really stoked with how I just reinvented myself into a new space that really aligns with my inner soul and how I am as a human and what I actually want to do. So in like the last 18 months, I've actually figured out what my purpose is, and that is something I'm really proud of. I don't think a lot of people ask themselves that question, especially in media. I feel the more conversations I have with people in media, it's all about, so what job are you doing now? What shift are you doing? Like, so where do you want to go next, and what are you planning? Are you going to have a media empire? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you move there? Like, there's all these questions about the thing, and there's no question about the purpose behind it.
Yeah.
So I did radio for 12 years and I don't actually know why, which is a pretty massive realization and almost a scary realization when it hit me on the morning that it hit me. I was like, oh, I don't even know why I was doing this. I just did it because, I don't know, I got offered a job and because I was told that I was flipping awesome. So I've now come to a place where I know what I'm here for. And so now the execution of that rolling out doesn't really make a difference to me. So if that's a radio show, or if that's not a radio show, if that's raising a family, if that's doing a podcast with content that I feel really passionate about, if it's writing an article about something that might help somebody, then that's more important to me.
Cool. Okay.
It's a big one. I've had a real lot of therapy as well. I think I bought my therapist a pool in the last 18 months. She's awesome.
Getting to that point is, you've literally already just got me thinking about it.
I'm going
to need a few minutes to myself think this through more.
We can have a chat afterwards. But I talk about it so much now because the moment that I realized that, the moment that I literally was like, I don't know what my purpose is. I've just been doing all this stuff that I thought was cool, that was, paying me great money, that looked glamorous and awesome and ticked all of these really, really vacuous boxes. But I didn't know why. And so when you figure out why you're here, what your purpose is, it's interesting how it flips on its head and you don't care anymore. Like, I don't care that I'm not doing radio. I just care that I'm living my purpose.
Yeah.
And that is a question that not everybody sits down and thinks about, but it's probably the most important question that we should be all asking
100%.
ourselves.
Yeah, okay. So that's what you're proud of. For some people is a very similar question. For some, it gets a completely different answer. What would you say is your biggest achievement?
Oh, working with Dan DeBoof for 7 years and not physically harming him. And I hope Dan hears this. Dan and I, I look back on 7 years of working with this person and it was an actual dream, a roller coaster, because it tested me in so many ways. It pushed so many of my buttons and boundaries, and I feel like we both grew as humans in those 7 years. And I think working with somebody in such a creative, sometimes toxic, like pressure cooker environment, to not neck each other or yourselves is actually a phenomenal achievement. And I think, there's a lot of radio teams and duos that don't make it through, and what we went through, everything that we went through together, and we went through it so differently but at the same time. And his expression of how he would deal with something is so different to mine, but that kind of helped. We helped each other along. So I would say one of my greatest achievements is working with Dan. He taught me so much. And I know, I know, looking at Dan, the Dan that I know now to the Dan that I met 7 or 8 years ago, he's grown into a really incredible human. And that's something I believe that I played a small part in. I feel like I normalized him a little bit and he made me weirder. And he would argue that I'm the weird one out of the duo.
Okay. That's cool. We only get 10 minutes to cover everything that you've done, which is in no way ever going to cover it all perfectly.
It's almost insulting, actually. Okay. I don't understand why you didn't do a 1 hour special for me.
Well, there are more special
people. Yeah, I know.
Would you say that roughly sort of covers the Maz Compton, brief?
Yeah, sure. Did radio, doing other stuff now. That's pretty much the sum total of it. Worked with a guy called Dan for a while. Still like each other. And I know what I'm doing on the planet. Yeah. There you go. That's the sum total of me.
Perfect. Now we get to talk shame.
Yeah, great.
Keep up to date on the latest episodes by subscribing to Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and all other apps.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oops.
So we've heard plenty of things that you're proud of, Maz.
Yes.
literally, you seem to be going very well. But just dipping our toe into shame a little.
Shame.
And the way I describe this to people is I say, you know, it's when you're sitting at home, maybe, and a thought just pops into your head of something you did, and you go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Is there anything?
There's a couple of little tiny things that I could sort of highlight that in the moment, and you would know this from doing radio, and it's not an excuse at all, but the realities of radio are you are in a live broadcast moment and you have to make decisions on the fly. And sometimes you get to a moment where you're not in a live broadcast space and you think back to what you said and you go, maybe I shouldn't have said that, yeah. Right? Radio regret.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're very secure about who you are as a person and what you stand for, sometimes there might be some opposition against something that you said or you did, and you are okay with that because not everyone has to like what you say. So I don't think, for me, shame doesn't come necessarily from what somebody is trying to shame about something. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it would have to be something that I genuinely sat down and went, "Gull, sorry." And there's one thing that I did on air when I was in Adelaide, and I fundamentally went against my gut feeling on it, and I instantly regretted it, and I had to make a very sincere apology to a friend of mine. But you know, the good thing about it is that it's never happened again. And I've always followed my gut instinct, and I've always protected my friendships from my broadcast life when I was doing it. And what happened is this friend confided in me a situation about her relationship. And as you would know from doing radio, that is the fodder that we froth on in a planning meeting. And so I brought this up in a meeting, and my producer like double high kicked in the air and was like, this is like epic relationship relatable content. And he was like, you know, we should definitely do something on air about it. And I went, at the time I was like, yeah, but I'm living in Adelaide and I don't want to tell my friend's story without her permission, firstly. Mm. And secondly, like, it's very, very fresh. She's in the middle of this situation and I should just, do you know what? And I just did not stand up for myself enough, and I feel like I got, I won't say bullied into it, because I did it. I made the decision to take that content to air. But there was a bit of pressure because it was such great content. And so I took the content to air, and I know I hurt my friend, and she was devastated, and I knew it. As soon as we got off air, I knew, I was like, I know that if she heard that, she's not going to be happy with me telling, like, you know, basically almost airing her dirty laundry.
Yeah.
And so I put in a call afterwards, and she was absolutely gutted with me. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I have completely gone against my own character, and I got carried away with what I thought was important for something that actually isn't, because no one would have known if we didn't do that particular topic. Nobody would have known if we waited a month or two for the dust to settle. But I got too caught up in what we needed for that show in that very moment, which was to relate to everybody in a relationship or whatever. And I learned a huge lesson, and she was really gracious, and she eventually forgave me. And like, I mean, I don't live in Adelaide anymore, but I know that we're fine. But I lost sleep over that. I felt awful. And I kind of vowed, I guess it's when you make your biggest mistakes that you know, you learn the biggest lessons. And I was like, I'm never, ever going to go against my gut again. And I, from that moment, I just had to be really careful about bringing even personal content to a planning meeting, knowing if I expose this part of my world right now, it could wind up on radio, and I need to be okay with that. And that, I guess, was the filter that I put on things that I would present forward out of my own personal life and my friendships as well. But the other thing that I wanted to say, and now everyone thinks that I'm such an evil person and no one's ever going to trust me with their dirty secrets again. But it happened once, guys. But you know, this is going to sound weird because it's not something that I did, but when I was let go from my breakfast radio gig in 2015, I it was a really difficult... First of all, it was really difficult to read that you'd been fired in the newspaper. That was a bit tough. It was a bit awful that the whole world found out about it. Like most people, when they get fired from a job, it's like they know about it, the boss, the co-workers and their families. Mm. But like I felt like the whole world had to found out about my work life. Mm. That, and I didn't make the choice. I didn't do anything wrong. Like all of these things. And I actually carried a lot of shame for a few months after that, that I actually went to therapy about, because I didn't know how to manage that emotion and that feeling of I felt like I had let everyone down, because I'd worked so hard to be, you know, I always wanted to be on Sydney Breakfast. It was such a pivotal moment for me when I landed that job. I was so eager, so excited. I felt like I had all the support in the world. And then when it got taken away, I felt like I'd really failed everyone, and I felt ashamed. I actually like felt that I'd let down my family, that I'd let down my boyfriend, that I let down the team. And then I'd let down the listeners, because I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what I did, but I'm so sorry about it. And I carried a huge amount of shame for about like 4 to 6 months. And I went into intense therapy to figure out how to put it to rest and be okay with it. Okay. And deal with it graciously and deal with it in a way that I would be proud of. And that is what I'm proud of that I've done. But for anyone listening that has been in that situation where you've been let go from a position, especially in media, and you had no control over it, I like there is this element of like, I screwed up, I'm so sorry kind of thing, but it's not even your fault and there's other stuff out there. And I think if anything, I'm that shining example that you can totally turn it around and turn it into a massive win. But it was definitely a thing that I didn't expect. I expected to feel upset, I expected to feel rejected, but I never expected to feel an immense amount of shame until I journeyed through that and I got through it and I was like, okay, I don't need to be ashamed about that, because that's something that happened to me. And you've got two choices, you respond or you react, and I decided to respond and respond well.
I find that really fascinating. I'll be honest, when I came...
I found it fascinating too. I was sitting in my therapist's chair and she's like, you're feeling really ashamed. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm totally cool, right? I'm okay, aren't I?
Like, yeah. I'll be honest, coming in to record this, I was like, I don't even know if we'll touch on the ending of the breakfast show, if that would even relate.
Let's talk about it.
But... well, with that and with the other incident you mentioned, besides maybe talking with a therapist, was there anyone you maybe actually spoke to at the times and was like, I'm feeling ashamed about this particular thing that happened?
No, I didn't. Like when the incident happened in Adelaide and I just broke my friend's trust, and I think you don't have to have a radio show to accidentally do that. Yeah. I think people, you know, we stuff up in our relationships constantly because we're all imperfect and we're all trying to figure it out. But I didn't... I'm a really good self-processor and I journal a lot, and I think that's how I have this... I've got a pretty good level of self-awareness, and so I instantly knew. Mm. I think there are some people that aren't connected to themselves enough to realise when they've hurt someone, and those people go along in life and they probably never feel ashamed of anything ever, and they probably should. But I'm really lucky that I do the work and I journal a lot, and I figured it out really, really quickly, and then I confronted... and then I had a conversation with my friend. I rang her direct and I was like, I think I've screwed up. And what I should have said is, I 110% have completely screwed up and I'm so, so, so sorry. But it even I wanted to take it down a notch from there and be like, I think I've hurt you. And she was like, yes, you have.
So after that, you had the conversation with her and, you know, she was upset. How long after that were you feeling particularly bad about it?
Like months.
Yeah.
We met up like a couple of weeks later and had I took her out for lunch, and I, as you know, a way of trying to really say, I'm so sorry and you can trust me and I won't do this again. And these are all the things I've learned from my stupid mistake. Even after that, every time I saw her, or every time it even was mentioned in conversation or a similar situation was talked about, it was like this pang of guilt. And I was like, oh God, I'm so horrible. So for ages. But then I think it's like anything, time is a really great healer. And so like the you know, distance happens and time moves on, and you there's no point beating yourself up as well. Like, I think when you, I did all the due diligence, I did the duty of care, I apologized and I meant it, and I actually haven't ever betrayed a friend like that ever since. So at some point you got to then like stop beating yourself up about it and go, hey, you know what, Maz, like, yeah, you screwed up. And we can all move on. Like, get over yourself. It's not that much of a big deal. Look, there's a puppy dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, or do something to make you feel good.
Yeah, okay. That's really cool as well. And then I guess with the breakfast radio, obviously it took a bit longer with and needed therapy, but...
Yeah, P.S., like, people listening might be really like going, what, Maz? I go to therapy like once a month. And have done for before I started working in radio. And it's not because I'm like insane. I probably have a tendency to be insane and I don't want to be insane, but I just think it's really healthy to be self-aware to, it's really nice to go into a safe environment with no judgment and go, hey, this is where I'm at and this is how I'm feeling. And is that okay? And sometimes the response is, that is more than okay. That is perfectly fine. And other times the response is, oh no, that is not okay. And we need to continue seeing you, you know? And I think I've always been a huge fan of therapy and I've seen the same therapist for a really, really, really long time. So she's been with me on so many journeys. And so when I, you know, like swaddled into her office and I was an absolute mess and she was like, what's going on? I'm like, I lost my job. And she's like, oh, the dream job that you've come in here and talked to me about for 7 years that you're going to acquire and you finally acquired and it's meant to make your life perfect and make you feel whole and do all of these things that it didn't do. You lost that job, Maz. I'm like, yeah. That was the start of the conversation and it still comes up. It's a year and a half down the track and sometimes it pops up. Like, because the other interesting thing is when you've done a breakfast radio show and then you've been unceremoniously replaced, people really just want to bring it up all the time, even a year and a half later. It's like... Yeah. Yeah, so about that radio, you know, like, I don't know who they've got on there now, but far out, you know, and it's like, great, I don't really care because I don't listen, guys. But, yeah, it constantly comes up. So I feel like I'm still getting okay with what happened and trying to figure out how maybe my story is going to help other people or maybe the way that I did it at least is something that other people can look at and go, you know what, like, that happened to her on that scale and she navigated it with grace and style, so I'm going to try and adopt that attitude in whatever stuff happens to me that I've got no control over or what have you.
Excellent. Well, look, it's been interesting with some of the podcasts I've done for this. Some people have had more, some people have had less. But it's to get two instances I find really fascinating that you've been so open with.
I'm so shameful.
I think shame is perfectly helpful, healthy and important.
Like, I do too. And what I was going to ask you actually, Sam, is because I'm a huge fan of like a Brené Brown and she talks a lot about vulnerability and shame and how it's a conversation that it's not fun because it's not all the fluff. It's it's not like, here's my trophy cupboard. It's like, here's my closet and all the skeletons kind of thing. But is there an inspiration for you to actually start this conversation with people?
Oh, yeah. I think I've shared it once on this already, but I...
Sorry, guys.
No, it's fine. I mean, I have things that pop into my head all the time and I'm just like, oh, I wish I hadn't done this or that. And there's, you know, things with personal relationships that I'm like, I wish I hadn't done that. But for me... It's one that I've moved on from now and it's such a stupid thing. And I was telling Alex, who's home we're recording this in, about it earlier. When I was like 12 or 13, we had friends visiting the family and I fell off. We were just playing around on the couch and I fell off and I think I bumped my head. And for some reason...
That explains everything. Yeah, right. So no wonder you got into media. Yeah, right? You had a head trauma as a child.
Well, I wish I could explain why I've made the mental decision to get into media. But I did something stupider, I think, than getting into media. I hit my head. It was minor, no issue. And then decided I was going to pretend that I had brain damage.
What?
And I proceeded to crawl around on my hands and knees at the age of like 12 or 13, making screaming noises while we had people, like friends, visiting. And it got to the point where when they left, mum and dad are like waving goodbye at the door. And I'm at the door too, still on my hands and knees, making screaming noises. And then 10 minutes later, pretend to come to and have no memory of it happening. I was an absolute shit.
Did you do it for attention?
I don't know what I did it for. I was, you know, you hear from a lot of people in media, they're like, oh, as a kid, you know, I made a lot of noise and I ran around. And I honestly don't know why I did it. And that's, I think, more than anything, why I... Even now, like,
I suddenly feel people. Really uncomfortable being in a room alone with you.
I would
I think
too.
I've got to go.
Just give me a few more minutes.
That's really intense.
Yeah. And bizarre. And like,
did you tell your parents?
Well, what happened then was mum did the very, very clever move of saying, well, we'd better go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. And then you're like, I'm fine.
And we're halfway there. We're in the car.
Oh,
and,
you and, really were committed to this lie.
And I'm freaking out. And mum's like, one more time, Sam, is that actually what happened? And I've done the whole, oh, no, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Like, and I for years, funny? I felt so terrible. Like, and I still do. I'm like, that was a, I mean, I was a kid, but I was mature enough to have known better.
Yeah.
Like, I was in my early teens. Like, why the f*** did I do that? I
yeah,
don't know.
Yeah, that's a, well, if you don't know the answer, yeah, Sam, yeah. No one no. knows the answer to
I
that.
I know. And it's, yeah. So, and I think that's almost part of what connects the shame to it as well, is literally having no explanation for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely. Know? That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, so, and I find, like, that pops into my head and I find that that motivates me. And I've sort of linked that to some of the things that I've done since. And I'd be really curious next to see what connects your shame to what you've done now.
Sure.
For extra content, check out the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
So we sort of ended on my shame there, but
I've got a knack of doing that. Like, I turn it around. You think you're interviewing me, Sam?
That's why you're in media. I were. So you've had a lot of things happen in your life. There's things that you're really proud of. And I think we've already covered that. Normally I spend this time, this last bit of the podcast, trying to connect to maybe yeah. your most recent life. You already said you learned lessons, though, from the things
so
you've done.
So many lessons, yeah.
But... starting maybe with the secret of your friends that you shared.
Yeah.
You said, you know, you've never done it since. You've made sure to never do it since. Is there any way that connects to what you're doing now?
I just think that for me was like a real line in the sand moment where I just ballsed up and it really hurt someone and went, I don't want to hurt people. Like, that's not okay for any reason. For the glory from my producer to ratings, you know, whatever, like whatever we needed in that moment. Like that was where I went, I am not prepared to hurt people to get anything that I think I need is more important, because that's not okay. Mm. So for me, that life lesson that I learned then and there, and then I made a decision to actively not get myself in that position again. Mm. And then I kind of stayed true to that vow. So it's been like this filter, or it was when I was working in media, on my content choices, on how even it even tweaked the way I would come into an interview situation where I was like, I want this person to always feel comfortable. I don't ever want to hurt them or expose them or for them to feel like they're out of control in this room. And so I always, in the back of my mind, was like, I want my line of questioning to always make this person feel welcome and to feel safe in yeah. here. And that came from that moment as well. So that was a great thing. Like, that was a completely positive result from one crappy decision that I made. And then, yeah, to be able to stay true to it, you know, moving onwards yeah. and forever. And even in business now, like, I just take that with me. So it's definitely one that really, really sticks out.
Mm. Well, I find it really fascinating that, like, you know, you've taken the lesson of, you know, trying to think of other people and be aware and help them. And then the business that you've gone into outside of radio is literally about betterment of other people.
Well, it's funny because the purpose that I spent so long trying to figure out is empowering people to be better humans. That's, if I could wear a, you know, a sandwich board that is my purpose, that's on the sandwich board. I don't know if you'd have all of it on the front, half of it on the back. Anyway, empowering people to be better humans is why I'm on the planet. And I'm so glad I figured that out, because I don't know how much empowerment I was doing on commercial radio. But I feel like I'm actually really doing it now. And it almost, you could almost pin it back to that moment where I realized that I wanted to help people and not hurt them. Not that I think people actively hurt people all the time, but sometimes the result of stuff, you know, people, there are casualties. So, I feel like that moment really defined a lot of things for me, and they're now manifesting in many, many other ways because I'm out of the constraints of, you know, the landscape that I was in, which is a cool, like it's a really, that's a really nice feeling.
Okay. That's, really fascinating. Yeah. So, and then what is the other lesson? Just don't get back into commercial radio?
The other lesson is don't get fired from commercial radio. Guys, don't get the sack. No, that's not, I would never, I've been asked before, someone said to me, so what's your advice after what you've been through to young women, especially, who want to get into radio? And I really had to wrestle with my answer because my first instinct was to say, don't bother. It's so hard. It's going to consume all of you, chew you up and spit you out, and it's not worth it. And then I thought,
that's too long. Can I have a short version?
Yeah. And then they said, it's got to be under 45 characters. No. And then, but I thought, that's just how I'm feeling right now, and that's not fair. And I would never want to put the fire out on somebody else's dream. And so the lesson isn't don't get in. It's just get in and fight as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And when the day comes that it's time to go into a different ring and fight another fight, be okay with that.
Okay.
And so instead of hanging on and clawing your nails into the wall and being dragged out with the furniture in your hands, like, get up and walk out with your head held high and be proud of how you leave. And so I think commercial radio is, it's a medium that is not going to die, and it's like the Hugh Hefner, you know, it just sticks around and just screws everybody. But it is like, it is still around for a reason, you know, and people will need to work in it. And so long as those people are making great radio and good content choices and being entertaining, then that's great. But when the day comes that it's time for you to go and move on and do something else and maybe empower people to be better humans or whatever your purpose might be outside of that, then go and do that and do it with all of the stuff that you've learned from the radio part of your life. It's just one, like, it's just, unless you're Alan Jones, really, it's just one little part of a very, very big and exciting picture.
Okay. Well, Maz Compton, thank you for going from, at the beginning, being the person who said, I'd say I'm the one with no shame, to getting really in depth.
Yeah.
That was really fascinating.
Yeah, I go deep.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Shame Feeder. Keep up to date by subscribing or liking the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.